would open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at this passage for the basis for our lesson this morning with the weather and other factors that we ended up not being able to assemble the last two Sundays. This is the sermon that I intended to preach 2 weeks ago as we it was the first Sunday of the year and everyone is making seems like they're making New Year's resolutions, setting goals for the year and doing all that. And when we think about that type of thing, we tend to do that at the first of the year. Of course, it is close to the first of the year, but it's really something that can be done any time as far as we think of how we want to make improvements or we set goals, whether it's for our health or for our work or our relationships or education or whatever it might be. People set goals all the time, and they want to reach some destination. They want to reach some place where they're not there yet, but they've, well, if we do this and we do this, then we'll eventually we'll get to this point here, and that's what we're striving for. Well, all of those may be good. If we want to improve our health, we want to eat better, or we want to lose some weight, and we decide, well, this is what I'm going to do that, that's good. That's a good thing to do. That's fine. Or we think, well, I'm in this job now, but I think if I could advance and get a better job and all of that, and this is what I need to do in order to reach that, that is fine to do. That is a good thing to do. But in all of that, regardless of what direction we go in those types of things, we don't need to lose sight of what our primary goal needs to be. Where the text we're going to be looking at is verses 12 through 14 of this chapter in Philippians chapter 3, but the goal that Paul is talking about, of pressing on toward the goal, is stated in verse 11. It says, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And when he talks about the resurrection from the dead, he's not talking about this in general terms, because Jesus talked about the righteous and the wicked all being raised from the dead. He's talking about the resurrection of the righteous, the resurrection for eternal life. That's what Paul said. This is the goal. Everything that I'm doing is so that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And we might advance in a career and get a job and then move up in the company or move to another company and get a better job and do all those things. We may finish our schooling and go to college or graduate school, and we can do all those things. And all of that is good as long as we don't lose sight of this. This is the most important thing. So Paul says here, I'm doing all these things in order to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That was his goal. That needs to be our goal as well. And the way that we can achieve that goal, we can reach that goal, is by remembering what he says in the next three verses, verses 12 through 14, where Paul in these verses says that this is what I am doing. And as we have the same hope and the same goal that Paul has of attaining to the resurrection from the dead for eternal life, we need to be looking at what Paul did, and we need to be doing those same things too. We're going to be talking about that here in our lesson this morning. So we're going to start by reading these verses here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now Paul says here that I haven't reached this goal, but I'm doing these few things in order that I might be able to reach this goal. So what does he say he's going to do here? Well, he says first, there in verse 13, says, this is what I do. He says, I forget what lies behind. When we become a Christian, there are certain things that must be left behind and must stay left. We must keep them out of our lives and keep them in the past and not allow them to come back in. Because the things that Paul talks about here, we leave these behind when we become a Christian, but we can go back to them. we can allow them to come back into our lives. That's why he says here that I have to leave them. I can't go back to them. I can't live as I did before. So what is it that we leave behind when we become a Christian? Well, the first thing was read for us in the scripture reading this morning is that we need to leave behind our old lives of sin. We cannot allow ourselves to be slaves of sin, as that passage talked about in Romans chapter 6. When we give ourselves over to sin, when we live as if, you know, we can just do whatever we want to do and it doesn't matter, we make ourselves the slaves of sin. Paul says in our text that we're leaving behind certain things. We're forgetting what lies behind. And one of those things is sin. And we need to be careful that as Christians, while we understand that we always have the ability to sin, and we always have to guard against sin, we are not to be comfortable in sin and think that, well, it doesn't matter because we've been saved, God's grace is going to cover us, and it doesn't matter what we do, that we can just continue on in this. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." That's what the goal is. This is what we're leaving behind. We do not sin. And a lot of religious people have the concept that, well, sin is a terrible thing, and you know, we were horrible people that we sinned, but now we've been saved, and so we're still just the same horrible people, but God's overlooking all that, and we're, you know, He's covering that and imputing the righteousness of Christ to us. That is not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach what John says here, the reason why I'm writing to you is not so that you'll continue in sin, but be thankful for the grace of God that He's going to save you despite your sin. I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. He does add, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So if we do stumble, and we will sin from time to time, we will stumble. There is a way of escape with every temptation. We know that. But we don't always take that way of escape. We don't always do that or do what we should be doing. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, but there's a big difference between saying that, well, I might sin, and when I do, I'm going to correct it. I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. But my goal is to not sin. There's a big difference between that and saying, well, you know, it really doesn't matter because, you know, God's grace is going to cover all of that. The goal is to not sin. Paul says we're leaving the things that are behind. We leave behind our old life of sin. That is behind us, and we're not going to let it come back into our life again. One of the other things we leave behind is the evil companions that we may have run around with, that may have been an influence on us before. We're going to leave them behind because we're striving for the goal of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" And he goes on and talks about other conflicting things and ideas Christ cannot have harmony with Belial or with demons. A believer does not have anything in common with an unbeliever. So he says, do not be bound together with them. And a lot of times we apply this to marriage. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Warning for Christians not to marry a non-Christian. It applies to that, but it's broader than that. It's any relationship that you tie yourself to someone or some group of people that are a negative influence on you, that they are trying to lead you away from God and away from the truth, away from what's right. Do not be bound together with them. Peter wrote about this over in 1 Peter chapter 4, where he talked about the fact that you have left certain things behind, that these things are in your past, they need to stay in your past. He says in 1 Peter 4 verse 3, "The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you." The world lives like verse 3 talks about. Sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, all those things. The world lives that way. And you may have lived that way before you obeyed the gospel. He's writing to people, to these Christians. You may have done those things. And if you did those things, well, that's the time past is sufficient for that. You don't need to go back to it. You don't need to go back to those sins and to live as the world lives because you're different. And you need to be different enough that the people that you used to run around with, that you used to do these things with, they recognize. They recognize the difference in you. They know that, okay, he used to do this or she used to do this with us, but something's changed. They're not doing that anymore. We think about chapter 3 and verse 15, where we are ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. And this is another thing we may have to give an account for, why we need to be ready for an answer. Like, why don't you do these things with us anymore? We're not going back to those things. Those were in our past. We have given those things up. And some of these evil companions are not going to understand. There may be a lot of them are not going to understand that. And Peter says here, they are surprised at this, and they will speak evil of you. They will malign you. And we need to be okay with letting go of those friendships and those relationships that of the people who are trying to tempt us into living worldly lives. We need to be willing to give them up. We also, when we become a Christian, one of the things we leave behind is a sense of hopelessness. That Paul talked about the fact in Ephesians chapter 2 that those who are outside of Christ are those who have no hope. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, it says, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." He's writing to these Christians, Gentile Christians. He says that there was a time where you were separate from all these things. You didn't have hope. You didn't have anything to look forward to. And we know that when we see the things that go on in the world and all the trouble and all the suffering and hardships and things that go on in the world, all of us face those things, Christians and non-Christians. All of us face those things. But the difference is that once we become a Christian, once we obey the Lord, we have hope of something better. That whatever hardships, whatever difficulties we face here, we have hope of something better. The non-Christian doesn't have that. A lot of them might deceive themselves into thinking that they have something to look forward to, but they don't have hope. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 about those who are waiting for the day of the Lord, waiting for the Lord to return, and concerned about their brethren who may have passed on. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Those who are outside of Christ, they are the ones with no hope. But if we are in Christ, and those who die in Christ, they have hope. We leave that hopelessness behind when we become a Christian. Doesn't mean the problems of life go away, but the hopelessness, that is taken away because we have hope of something better when this life is over. We also have, one of the things that we've left behind is a lack of direction and not knowing, you know, what to do or which way we are to go or how we are to make it through this world that we find ourselves in. Over in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. I had the page open in the wrong chapter. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." That if we are relying on what we think or what we can figure out, which is what the world does, because they've ignored God. They're not following God. They're not following His way. The way of man is not in himself. And if we forget God, and or if we, for those who have not never obeyed the gospel and never been converted to Christ, they are in this condition now. They are like those Ephesians 4, verse 14 talks about, that they're carried about and tossed about by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. We don't have that to deal with as Christians. We don't have this lack of direction. We have a firm foundation in Christ. That we, as Jesus talked about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the two builders, one built his house on the sand, one built his house on the rock. When the storm came, the house that was built on the rock was able to stand. They had a foundation. We have a foundation of Christ and His Word. We have the direction. We know where we are to go. So this sense of hopelessness and a lack of direction, where we don't know what we need to be doing or what might be coming or what we should do in a certain situation, we have guidance. We have direction from the Word of God. So the lack of direction, hopelessness, all these things that we talked about, we leave those behind when we obey the gospel, when we become a Christian. So Paul says here, I forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. Now, when we think about that first point that we looked at, but we forget what lies behind, it does not mean that we, whatever condition we're in right now, that we're satisfied with that, and that's, you know, we've done enough, and then we're good. We don't have to think about it anymore. We still need to grow. We still need to improve. That is still a process. But again, we are going in a certain direction. We're pressing on toward a goal. We haven't attained it yet. Paul said, I haven't attained this yet. So we have to reach forward to what lies ahead. We need to keep moving and keep going and keep following after the Lord and pressing on to what we have. Well, how do we reach forward to what lies ahead? Well, we need to grow in maturity. We cannot remain in the state that we were in when we obeyed the gospel and think that, well, you know, that's all that we need to do. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And he goes on and talks about other things that these are part of the foundation that we have. That we understand that we've learned these things, we've believed these things. This is part of the foundation of what it means to be a Christian. We don't forget that. We don't leave that, but we build upon that. We press on to maturity. We become more and more what God wants us to be, which means we become more and more like Christ. Paul talked about this, Galatians 2 and verse 20, where he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We are striving to become more like Christ. And we go back to the book of Philippians where we started. We're looking at chapter 3. You look at chapter 2. We think about how we become more like Christ. We try to live in such a way that we can say that Christ lives in me. We have to remember who he was and what he did. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. It talks about how he went to the cross he came to earth, was willing to live as a man, went to the cross. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So becoming mature and becoming more like Christ, that means continued obedience to God. That we are not going to become more mature and more like Christ if we ignore what His Word says and we just live any way we want to live. That's not how we become mature. That's not how we become like Christ. Because being like Him means that we are obedient, even if it means we are obedient to the point of death. Because that's what Jesus did. Even in death on the cross, he went through that because He was showing this example for us, that we need to live and be as He was. So we reach forward to what lies ahead. This means growing in maturity. It also means growing in wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talked about growing in wisdom and in walking in a way that is wise. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." You are to live a certain way. You are to act with wisdom, walk in wisdom, and make the most of your time here. And again, we talked about this morning how we might make goals or resolutions and how we want to improve our life, and we think we want to make the most of our time. Well, that means, let me pursue this education, or we need to work at this job, and this is how we improve at and how we do better and how we do all these things. Well, we can do that. That's part of making the most of our time. But really what we need to be remembering and what all this lesson is about is that we need to recognize what is truly and eternally important. How do we make the most of our time? Well, he would go on and talk about how we worship God in song, that we give thanks to God, that we act a certain way toward one another in the different relationships that we have. We are to put on the full armor of God, as chapter 6 talks about. We do these things in order to act with wisdom and to walk in wisdom. That's how we make the most of our time. And we reach forward to what lies ahead because we've left hopelessness behind. So we are reaching forward to that hope that we have, the hope of something better when this life is over. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning verse 18. The Hebrew writer said, "So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus has gone into heaven. He has gone into the presence of God, and he has done that as a forerunner for us. That is where we can go. That is where we can be. But we need to remember that our hope is in heaven. It is the hope of eternal life, as passages like Titus 3 and verse 7 says. That's the goal that we're striving for. When Paul says in the verse right before our text, where we were looking at in Philippians 3 and verse 11, he's doing all this that he might attain to the resurrection from the dead. We have this hope that we can have eternal life, that even when this life is over, we have something to look forward to, and this is what we're striving for. This is what we continue to press on towards. So he says then, we forget what lies behind, we reach forward to what lies ahead, and we press on toward the goal. Paul, as he's writing this here, he had not yet attained that goal. He was still having to press on toward the goal. We are still having to do the same thing. The goal that we are striving for, we are going to reach that after this life. So what does it mean to press on toward the goal? It means, number one, we need to have endurance. We need to be able to keep going and keep pressing on toward the goal, because there are going to be times where we want to give up. There are going to be times where it's going to be easy to just decide that it's not worth it anymore. We need to press on toward the goal. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We read the passage earlier in Philippians 2 that talked about how he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. With Jesus, we fix our eyes on him, because despite the fact that he was going to endure the cross and have to go through the shameful treatment that he received, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was more than anyone because he had been there. He knew what heaven was like. He knew what it was like to be in the presence of God and to escape the troubles and hardships of the world. He knew about all that before he came here, about what we experience, but he came here to show us that he understands what we experience. He understands what we go through. We fix our eyes on him. We leave every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. We run with endurance, and we do that by remembering him and looking to him and seeing that he was able to reach that despite everything he had to face. We need to do the same thing. To be faithful until death, as Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, the church of Smyrna was told, be faithful until death. And Paul talked about that near the end of his life, as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, that I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. We need to have the same endurance and the same willingness to continue to keep going, continue to press on toward the goal. And then we need to stay on the right path. It's one thing to say, well, I'm just going to keep going, and I'm going to keep, you know, keep pressing on and keep doing this. But if we aren't going in the right direction, it doesn't matter how zealous we are and how much effort we're putting into it. If we're not headed in the right direction, then we're not going to end up in the place where we need to be or the place that we want to be. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about there are two paths that we can choose to go. One path is the way that most people go. It's the way that the world goes. And there's another path that we need to take. Matthew 7, verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. We have to find that right path. We need to know what that right path. Now, for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, become Christians, become disciples of Christ, we found that path. We just need to make sure that we stay on that path. That we, going back to Philippians chapter 3, Paul talked about pressing on toward the goal and doing all these things. Well, verse 17, he says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. That you look at me, you look at others who are doing this, and you walk according to the pattern just as they are walking according to that pattern. Stay on the right path. Don't depart from that. The world is going to try to get you to leave it, and it will try to get you to think, well, look, everyone else is going this other way. Why don't I go that way too? The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way is what leads to life. We have to stay on the right path, and we have to remember the reward. Remember what it is that we are striving for, that we have a hope. We have hope of eternal life. Remember the reward that has been promised to us. When Peter wrote about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, he wrote about the inheritance that we have in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is what we are looking forward to. This is what we're striving for. And it says that this is reserved in heaven for us. That we don't have to get to the end of our life and think that, well, we've been faithful to God. We've trusted in him. We've done all these things and kept going the right direction. And then we get to the end and find out, well, there wasn't room. We're filled up. You can't come. That's not an issue. That's not something we're going to experience. If we are faithful to God, We know that He has a place for us. This place that is reserved in heaven for us, we have this inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. We have this eternal hope. Whatever it is that we have to experience right now, whatever we have to go through right now, whether it's persecution or health issues or financial issues or other hardships in this life, whatever we have to go through, reaching that reward will be worth it. And we need to remember that and not lose sight of that, because if we lose sight of what the goal is and what direction we need to be taking and what we need to be doing, it's going to be very easy to get discouraged and give up. We have to remember what we're striving for and what the goal is. So we can make plans, we can set resolutions for the year or any time. It doesn't have to be the first of the year, but we can set goals and things, what we want to do for the future, how we're planning these things. All of that's fine. But let us not lose sight of what is truly and eternally important. We need to keep pressing on toward the goal. Whatever else we do this year and beyond, we need to press on toward the goal. Look to Christ. Look beyond this life and stay faithful to Him. As we close the lesson, extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. We can help you do that today. If you have done that and have fallen away and need to make correction, then we would encourage you to do that, to pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we could help you or encourage you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.